Our scripture today is the very beginning of Paul's letter to the Philippians. Actually, just the first two verses is what we're going to do today. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, along with the bishops, the overseers, and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly God, as the word is broken open, have us hear what you would have us hear. Have us come away with what you would have come away with us. Help us to always live into your word, the Bible. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul always begins his letters with identifying who's sending the letter. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. Now, this word servant isn't a really strong enough word from the original Greek. The better word here is slave. Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. As you think about it, a servant is someone who's employed, someone who has a job. I could do this job. If I don't like this job, I can just move on. I can tell you, the old Johnny Paycheck song, take this job and shove it. A servant can say that. I'm going to go do something else. I'm going to go somewhere else. Not so for a saint, for a slave. A slave has no freedom. A slave must do the master's will. A slave has no choice but to do them what the master calls that person to do forever. Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. Paul has been a slave of Jesus Christ since the Lord literally knocked him down on the road to Damascus and called him to be an apostle. And right to this very moment, as he writes this letter, Paul must do God's will. He has to. Paul and Timothy, slaves, we are here because of Christ. And they got to Philippi originally because they were called. Paul has this vision of a man that says, visit the region of Macedonia. You have to go there. And so they go to Philippi. Talk about a calling from God. So they go to Philippi, that's in western Greece, and establish the first church ever in the continent of Europe. And they have many adventures and misadventures there. And they stayed in Philippi as slaves, as those who must serve God in Jesus Christ, until God calls them away. Calls them to a different place and a different set of people who need to hear the gospel. In Philippi, they got the church going and they got it going strong. They left them in the good hands of the deacons and the overseers, and they move on. Because they were slaves of Christ, they had to go where God called them to go. Now, Paul has a lot of controversies with the churches of the Galatians and the Corinthians. And he has a lot of fussing and feuding with a lot of different churches. But it really isn't so with the Philippians. The Philippians love Paul and Timothy and Paul love them. And they have to stay in touch. Now, they don't have Facebook or social media. And between them, they didn't even have one cell phone. So they had to write letters. And they tell us that this letter was written around 60 AD from Rome. Sometime earlier, long, long story, very, very short, very much compacted. Sometime earlier, Paul had been arrested and sent to Rome to have trial before Caesar Nero. Paul was accused of having broken the Pax Romana, the peace of Rome. The radical revolutionary act of Paul of preaching the gospel gets the empire in an uproar and gets Paul arrested and hauled off to Rome. So he says, Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus, as he writes this letter, he is literally chained to the wall in the dungeon of Caesar Nero's prison. And as he can't write it himself, but he's dictating it to Timothy. And we think this is a farewell letter to those whom he loves. He knows his time is short. He knows that the Roman legions may be coming any moment to take him away. So he writes, Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus, to the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi. Now, normally when you and I think of saints, we're thinking Mother Teresa, Francis of Assisi, We even call them St. Paul, St. Peter. They're saints up here, people who are holy, people who are always good, people who are officially canonized, virtuous, kind, great, miracle workers. That's what we think of as saints. Saints are up here, they're wonderful and great all the time, and we can learn a lot by studying the lives of the saints. That is not what Paul means when he calls the people of Philippi saints. When Paul addresses the saints in Philippi, these people aren't saintly at all the way we would define saints. This is one of Paul's favorite places in the world. He calls them saints, but they aren't holy people by any means. Just a real quick history. Philippi was established back in the B.C. days by Alexander the Great's father. Julius Caesar comes in and takes over the city. And then after he's assassinated, this city then comes under the control of Augustus Caesar. Here's what happened. Julius Caesar's murdered. We all remember that. And this starts a great civil war in Rome. It's his adopted son, Augustus, versus Caesar's right-hand man, Mark Antony, versus Brutus and those others who had put Caesar to death. And there's a long, prolonged, bloody civil war. And Augustus ends up winning the civil war. And now he's mustering out, he's downsizing the army. What do you do with all these legions? Well, he doesn't want them anywhere near Rome, these soldiers, these veterans, because Mark Antony might get a hold of them and talk them into reforming and going against Caesar. And he wants to keep the veterans happy. And so what he does, he establishes these Roman colonies. He either establishes a new city or he takes over cities and throws the citizens out of the city and brings in these veterans. Philippi is one such Roman colony. Augustus sets land aside for them to farm. He gives them jobs. He gives them cash bonuses. They live as citizens under the law of Rome. And best of all, it's all tax-free. Talk about a GI Bill. Augustus had it. And so when Paul calls these people, these children and these grandchildren and great-grandchildren saints, he's talking to roughneck, working class people of every ethnic race who just happen to be Roman citizens. These are rough-hewn people. And he says, you are the saints in Philippi. You are the saints. We're not talking about well-educated, faithful Jewish believers. We're not talking about the educated, philosophical Greeks, the children of Plato and Aristotle. Imagine calling these people saints. My dad worked at the Ford Motor Plant in Northeast Ohio for 30 years. I could just imagine going into this huge, huge factory with all these working class people and yelling down the assembly line, "Hey, you saints, good to see you. Good day, saint." I don't think so. Or just imagine going across the street over to the high school, saying to the students, "Hey, you saints, how are you doing today?" Coming into this church, we know who we are. We know who we are. Most of us aren't saintly as we would define saint today. Oh, we can point to a few people who are just wonderful and good and holy all the time. But let's be honest, most of us, including mostly me, we aren't saintly. Yet I begin my time together by greeting you, the saints of Covenant Presbyterian Church. It's the same address Paul gave to his friends, his loved ones in Philippi. I want you to see it the same way Paul saw it. A saint are those who have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. A saint is those who have accepted the gift of the Holy Spirit. A saint is one who lives out the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is sainthood. It's not about being up here. It's about being really imperfect, really mess up, really not the greatest person in the world, but living out the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's who we are as the saints. Now, what I'm about to say, I really shouldn't say out loud. As you get to know me, you will find that I dislike meetings for meeting's sake. If we have a meeting like a VBS training or a worship committee or finance committee, that's good. We're there to have a meeting. But to have a meeting on Saturday morning in Durango, Colorado, when I could be out hiking, that was hard. And I really, really don't let it leave this room, what I'm about to tell you. And I should tell anyone who's a pastor, plug your ears for a second. I hate being in meetings with pastors the most because we talk too much. And when we're newly ordained, we really talk too much because we know everything. So here I was Saturday morning in Durango, Colorado, and a newly ordained pastor was diatribing, monologuing. Second career, he was older, he should have known better. And he's just going on and on. And at one point he says, and this is what's really wrong with us. We only trot out this Holy Spirit once a year at Pentecost. Now, I was 15 yards away from him in the fellowship hall, and I was more than half asleep. But when I get irked, I blurt. It just comes out, and then you think, did I say that out loud? But so I blurted out. I said, you can't say that. You can't say we only trot out the Holy Spirit once a year. First of all, what are you doing on Sunday morning? You're not in my church. You can't say that about us. And secondly, it is not up to us to trot out the Holy Spirit. Yeah, sometimes you say the right thing instead of 15 minutes later, you think, oh, I should have said that. That time I said, it is not us. It is not for us to trot out the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are the saints of Jesus Christ. And we are the saints because we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have been given the gift of faith. We have been given the gift to live out that faith. And we can't live it out perfectly because we're human. We just can't. Look at Paul's life. Look at all the fumbles and missteps and miscommunications he had in his life. Look at the saints in Philippi. They're a rough-hewn, down-to-earth bunch. Look at the saints who have gone before us. None of us are perfect. And we can learn a lot by studying the lives of the saints. That's what part of this letter to the Philippians is all about. And part of one of the reasons we're going to look at it my first month here, my first 4 weeks, we're going to study this letter. Because part of what it's all about, God bless you, part of what this is all about, this letter is all about, is that the church in Philippi have had a few hiccups. They've had a few fussing and feuding and mess-ups along the way. And Paul says, you are the saints, even with the hiccups. Those do not prevent us from being a saint. It affirms our sainthood. He begins by calling them saints, and he's going to work his way all the way to chapter 4 with the great faith statement, I can do, we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. That's what makes us saints, is that we are in this with Christ through his Holy Spirit. That's living out our faith statement. Now, poor old Paul at this point in his life is chained to the wall in the dungeon of Caesar Nero's prison. He's coming to the end of his life, and he needs to address his dear ones one last time. And what does he say to them? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my situation in life is way different right now. I've just arrived in Colorado Springs. I look out the window every morning and I see Pikes Peak. I'm back living in a great house, reunited with my family. My situation couldn't be more different than St. Paul. But my wish is exactly the same. My prayer for you, the saints, for us, the saints, is that we know in our hearts grace and peace. Grace is a Greek word. It comes from the Greek. Charis, grace, unmerited favor. Great surprise gift. joy to you, health, mercy, peace, love, all rolled into one. God's eternal love, God's eternal favor, God's eternal forgiveness is on you, even though you don't deserve it. But here it is. Here it is. It's given to you. God has lifted up all of us to be the saints because of God's grace, this great unmerited favor. And peace, grace and peace. Now, this is a Jewish thought. It comes from a Jewish vocabulary. Shalom. You know that word. You've heard it. The shalom of God. It is such a deep word that the New Testament actually translates it into Greek using three different words. Irene. Don't make war. Be at peace. Like peace, dude. That's Irene. Soter. Salvation. We have received salvation because God is with us. God knows us. God in Jesus Christ has gifted us with soter, salvation. And teleos. Teleos means spiritual peace of mind. How great is that? Because Jesus Christ died and rose again, we are right with God. Teleos. We have spiritual peace of mind. We have been given a perfectly reunited, perfectly in love relationship with the Lord God through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. Our sainthood is defined. Sainthood is ours because God has given us grace and peace. This doesn't make us a Roman colony of roughneck veterans. This makes us a colony of heaven who are oh so imperfect, and yet the saints of Jesus Christ. We are saints who are sinners, who have the shalom of God. We are made right with God. And that rightness of God with God doesn't mean that we'll live uneventful, stress-free lives with no pain, no sorrow, no fussing, no hiccups along the way. But we live lives of the saints, and we live into Jesus' promise from the Last Supper when he says, I give you peace. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. It is the peace, the shalom of God. And my prayer is for us, the saints at Covenant Presbyterian Church, is that we never lose sight of the fact that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, has made us who we are, imperfect sinners who are saints, given unmerited love forever, unmerited forgiveness forever, to live in the shalom of God, rightness with God, in salvation forever. Totally unmerited favor to live in peace as Jesus gives us. May the grace and peace, the shalom of God, be with us forever. Let us pray. Almighty God, you have given us this life, this good land, which is our heritage. Make us to always remember your grace and peace, your generosity, your unmerited love, your will, your Holy Spirit with us. Bless each of us. Bless our church and bless our country with good work, sound learning, honorable living. Lord Jesus, we're human. We make mistakes. We mess up. And we ask you to continue to save us from our violence, our discord and confusion. Forgive our pride and our arrogance. Forgive all our evil ways. Make us who come from the many nations who make up people of many different languages, make us united, united in you as saints. Faithful who accept, who have been given, accept and live out your Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that the Spirit give us wisdom, give our government wisdom, give our land wisdom. When times are prosperous, let our hearts be thankful. When times are troubled, help us to trust in the grace and peace that you give us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.